Hello and welcome to this week's You May or May Not Like It. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XHorseAndX. And I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And you can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast. Let's see. Today we're going to be talking to you about the new Marvel show on Netflix, The Punisher. Is it everything everyone thinks it is or hopes it is? I guess we'll find out in about 45 seconds.
Nope.
Done and done. All right, so if you're not living under a rock and keeping up with all of the Marvel shows, this isn't like a precursor to his appearance on the Daredevil series. This is actually, you know, moving forward from that, which I thought was perfect, because at this point, I think everyone who was going to watch it knows enough about the Punisher to know why how he got to where he was. And then, you know, they explained it, you know,
well, it was funny
briefly in the Daredevil, which
it
was
nice. It almost looked when it first came out, before I started the first episode. I don't remember if I mentioned it to you, but it looked like it was a prequel, and I was like kind of bummed out.
Yeah,
because they show, like, you know, a lot of army scenes, but obviously it turns out to be a lot of like flashback of the things that went on to lead him down his Punisher route. Kandahar.
Okay. Just checking to see if you're paying attention.
I watch the show.
No, I was just making sure.
I mean, I've seen it. So yeah, they basically allude to that, and that's what, I mean, if you want to continue your setup, I guess. I kind of bumped your setup there for a minute.
I mean, there's really not much to set up. It takes place after that. Well, basically, I guess we can start out with, you know, he starts out the series as Pete Castiglione.
Yep.
Boom. He's basically just a construction worker. He's a grunt who's just working with the demo team. None of the guys like him because he doesn't talk to nobody, and he works a shit ton of free overtime. Just wielding a sledgehammer, taking out his frustrations of life, losing his family. And, you know, he can't wrap his head around it, and the best way for him to do it is to just smash concrete with a hammer. Until his hands are bloodied. So, you know, there's a new guy on the crew, and, you know, he's trying to fit in with everyone on the team, but nobody wants to, you know, he's the new guy. No one wants to, they want to give him a little shit. So he tries to, you know, befriend Frank or Pete, however you want to talk about it at this point. And even he's like, I don't want to deal with you, you know, but, you know, they got pissed at him for doing all this overtime and told him, basically, you're fucking all of us by working all this free overtime, so you need to stop. And then, just like good old high school bullies, they ruined his lunch by stepping on it.
They did.
So, you know, the new guy, his name slips me. It doesn't really matter that much.
I think it was.
Shut up.
All right.
He offers up half of his lunch to Frank, and Frank's like, I appreciate it. Thank you for the sandwich, but kindly fuck off.
Yeah, like, leave me alone. I'm done with you.
And he did. And it goes on from there. He doesn't listen, obviously. He keeps doing his thing. And this kid finally does get in with the rest of the crew, who I thought it was kind of odd that, like, half of these construction guys, and I'm not saying I know exactly what construction guys make, but they make a hell of a lot more than I do, so it seems a little odd that they would be, I guess, criminals on top of the fact, I guess, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, where are you going to find time to be a criminal when you're working 60 hours a week? Am I right, fellas? All right.
So, crickets.
Yeah. That didn't go nowhere.
Nope.
So, the one guy needs help paying off some loan, which makes sense.
Yeah, it was
sense.
Like a loan shark loan, like for gambling debts or something.
Yeah. Now that I can understand, because, you know, there are people out there with legitimate gambling problems. Like, and, no, so, I mean, for someone to be like, shit, I'm in the hole, I fucked up, you know, we've all seen Rounders, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But then for their brilliant idea to be like, oh, we're going to rob the biggest fucking mobsters in the city.
Yeah, the guy gets with his cousin or something, and they come up with this score. It's like a poker game, and they're like, "Oh, how come nobody's ever hit it before?" And they're like,
I don't want my cousin to think I'm a pussy.
It's the Nucci family, and he's like, "Wouldn't you want to pay him back with your own money?" Anyways, let me cut to the chase of this whole scenario.
Please. Please do.
It's kind of dumb. I mean, other than the cool punishing vendetta that follows, pointless to the series.
What, like two episodes?
The first two episodes legit pertain to this entire thing. And I don't know if it was to paint the Frank Castle's a decent guy picture.
I think it was more or less to paint the whole he's trying to move on with his life picture.
And people just won't let him be.
And Micro.
Well, Micro came like after.
Pulls him into
the. Right, but that was like legit after the. Oh.
He was watching him.
Okay. So, well, he wasn't watching him initially, but he figured it out based on that crime. All right. Yeah. So, I just talked myself into the point of it, I guess. But still, it's kind of a lot of setup.
No, it is.
It's legit, the whole first and second episode were solely devoted to this, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because, I mean, the way they were trying to build the relationship between the new guy and this Pete Castiglione, you don't hear from him the rest of the series. Like, you kind of thought like they were building that relationship for a reason.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I mean, I know that those guys all had it. I'm actually scrolling through the IMDb right now, and I don't see him in there. So,
I'm sure he's
kind of weird. Well, they have, like, everyone else that was in two episodes, except for them. So, anyways, who really cares? Because it was unimportant, in
yes,
my opinion.
Very much so. All of
it
that
did just set up the Micro, right, who is. Well, I guess long or the short then is Micro has the info from the Kandahar operations, which was like a black ops snatch and grab and assassinate situation that was CIA run. Which inadvertently led to the information that led to Frank Castle's family being murdered. So after he goes down everybody that he needs to go down and get, and he's the Punisher and all of this, and he burns the old shirt and all of that shit, it turns out it was higher than Schoonover? That the general from Daredevil.
Yeah.
Or colonel or whatever. So anyways, it's upper echelon from that, and enter Agent Dina Madani. She was in Afghanistan and investigating things she shouldn't have, and it turns out I forget the name of the guy that was on the tape. There's a tape of this Project Cerberus team torturing and then executing one of her assets from Afghanistan,
who was
actually an undercover cop.
He was just an innocent citizen.
Yeah. Well, he was a cop, so it wasn't like. Well, I'm not saying that makes him guilty. What I'm saying is that makes him that made him
a
liability, I guess. So once. What were they calling him? Agent Orange?
Sure.
Once he figured out, because he could speak the language on the tape, and you can hear on the tape, like, oh, like, I'm a cop. You guys are messing up. Don't do this. You can kind of tell that he's like, well, I also can't really let you go.
Right.
So we're kind of, you know, we've already taken it this far, so the best thing to do is cover you up with dirt in the ground. So,
taking you out, and I don't mean to dinner.
Yeah, Ahmed Zubair. That's who the guy was that was killed on tape. Madani has this vendetta to figure this out. She goes back to the CIA office in New York, and she's working for a dude. Turns out he's dirty and in on it and this, that, and the other thing. So basically, that sets the chain of events of Frank Castle working up the food chain yet again to get to the bottom of what's cracking. So I think that's about it.
I mean, skipped a few things, but that'll cover it.
I mean, it's the gist of what's cracking.
It's well enough. You want to know the rest, watch it.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, Micro's the one with the tape.
Micro being David Lieberman, for anyone paying attention.
Yep.
So David Lieberman was an analyst, and he was analyzing stuff he shouldn't have been back a few years prior to this, and that's where his disappearance came in, because he was shot in front of his wife, but he kind of expected it. He was saved because the bullet hit his phone, and he went underground, allowing his family to believe that he was dead, because he knows if he comes forward, they're just going to try to kill him again. So he enlists Frank to help him take out their mutual enemies, more or less.
Right.
Whereas Frank in the beginning was like, dude, I was perfectly happy being Pete Castiglione and being having bloody hands every day from smashing concrete, which he really wasn't, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then he finds out that, oh, so there's more to what happened to my family, and these guys are all involved. So I guess let's strap up. And we'll enter, you know, a lot of these flashbacks go back to him and Billy Russo, who was played by Ben Barnes, who, you know, they were in the war together. And, you know, Billy Russo was like the orphan who, you know, didn't have a family, so he decided, hey, I'm going to go off to the military. And then when he did, he came back and he basically started his own, what was it, like Blackwater? Isn't that the name of that stupid, like,
private? Anvil.
Well, that's what he called his company. It's basically the privatized military operations where, you know, he's going to go whoop some ass for whoever pays him the most money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he relies on recruiting a lot of soldiers coming back who can't get their lives together because they're so used to that violent environment now. So he preys on them, and that's how they get hooked up.
And Madani figures a way to use his company to get close to him to get more information on Kandahar. And at that point, she doesn't know that there is a Frank Castle still, because allegedly he's been dead.
Right. At this point, the only one that knows Frank is still alive is his friend Curtis Hoyle, who runs basically a support group for
vets.
For vets, you know, because he served with Frank and Billy, so they were all kind of know each other. And the redhead from
Karen
Devil, Karen, yes, yep. She also knows that Frank is alive as well. But other than that, nobody knows.
Other than those 14 people, it's a mystery.
Right, and the dentist. I mean,
yeah.
So I do want to touch back to Billy Russo here. Ben Barnes absolutely nailed this role. Like, he was probably my favorite character in the whole show.
He started off
as the pretty boy.
Yeah, but like the first episode, I was like, nah. And then I'm like, yeah, all right, okay. Plus, spoiler alert, he bangs Madani. So. I mean, big ups there.
Nailed it. For real, though.
No, for
nailed
real.
It.
For real.
You know, and a lot of people had their doubts about John Bernthal as the Punisher. I still don't know why.
I still don't know if I love him. I mean.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. If anyone is familiar with The Walking Dead, and anyone is also familiar with Honest Trailers, if you watch those, they say, you know, they do a little bit of him on there, where basically him and The Walking Dead is basically him just walking around rubbing his bald head. In this show, I feel like the entire show is him running around. He does a lot of
Sylvester Stallone-ing.
Yeah, and it gets fucking pretty old.
Yeah, it does a little bit. No, he's very Sylvester Stallone Rambo. I feel is what he used to channel his inner Frank Castle. Like, all, and I say that with love.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's badass when he's whooping that ass, but he doesn't need to scream like that every 30 seconds.
Plus, he's very, very prone to getting shot.
Yeah.
He gets shot 482 times in this series.
Per episode.
So, yeah, I mean.
And then he's up 5 minutes later.
If he drank water, he'd leak. I mean, that's how many times he's been shot.
Yeah, I mean. Overall, I did thoroughly enjoy the show, but since we're already ragging about certain things, yes, he takes an ass whooping and gets shot constantly throughout the entire thing.
And there's not very much time lapse, so it's not like this series doesn't span a year.
Right.
It doesn't span 4 months, if I had to guess.
Maybe
2 months in the beginning. That's stretching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's stretching it far. And the amount of, no pun intended, punishment this guy takes is
ridiculous.
I mean, you couldn't even
Every other episode, he's tied to a chair getting the shit kicked out of him, or yeah, he's or something, shot.
Or he's been shot, or he fell down the stairs, or he jumped walked off into a door. Walked into a door again.
What happened to him? Yeah. He walked into a door
again. But yeah, he jumped down the one time, like holding the fire hose and like dislocated his shoulder, and they just kept going.
And you know what I could have done without? When him and Micro were hanging out in the bunker, and Micro was getting drunk talking about his huge dick. Like, to me, that was completely not.
I got needed. It, though. Only because.
Well, because he kissed his wife. He misses his family.
Well, no, it was more of like, it got to the drunken, like, two guys acting like a couple of teenagers.
Right. Here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
You and I have been drunk.
Yeah.
I have never been like, dude, you got to see my dick. It's the fucking beast.
Yeah, but we're not like douchebag college kids. So Micro probably was. He was probably Lambda Lambda Pi. Or
we were like, let's get hammered and play Rock Band.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't really hard to show my dick when I'm holding a PlayStation controller.
Yeah. Whatever. I just or is that it? whole little snippet, I think, was kind of just.
No, I got it. They probably could have did it a little bit different. I kind of would have liked Micro to get a nice punch in the face, though. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he took a few licks.
No, he's a. No,
actually, I liked him a lot too.
No, he was good. He had a lot of depth. You know, there was a lot going on there, and he had the same reasons to do what he was doing, but he's obviously, I think he even alludes to, like, the guy in the chair. So,
yeah.
He's the Overwatch. So, I don't know, I thought it was pretty good. I thought the dynamic of the two were pretty good.
I'm like, who the hell was Sam Stein? And I'm like, oh.
Sam Stein.
Yeah, Madani's partner. Oh.
Oh, yeah, shit.
You know, I do also want to touch base with Sarah Lieberman, his wife or whatever, that he creeps on through his electronics by watching them, but they don't know. I thought I thought she was pretty...
attractive?
She was very pretty, but she was very good in the role, too. Like,
she's no Madonna.
With the, the single mom trying to raise two kids. And
one kid's a piece of shit.
Right. And when Frank was like, I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
And he pulled a knife on him and the kid started... fucking damn near pissed his pants. Oh, that scene was great. And then he's like, I'm just sick of, I got no friends. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. No, they, and you know, not for nothing, and I know maybe it's a little anti-comic book or whatever, but they alluded to having Frank show some heart a couple times, but never really let him. So I feel like they really should have.
I feel like he did.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he was out there playing ball with the kid and shit, blah, blah, whatever. And, you know, I mean, I guess, but... And I'm not saying to make the guy, you know, a nice guy, but you were obviously trying to paint a picture or give him some type of relatability to a regular person that has empathy for other people. So if you're going to try to do that, I feel like they should have did a better job instead of kind of... They sort of just pieced it in every once in a while, like, oh, yeah, no one's going to hurt Karen.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
We're sitting here talking about, like, the repeated shootings and ass-whoopings that Frank Castle took this whole show. Mm-hmm. So did Madani.
Yeah, she actually...
Now that I'm sitting here, I'm looking through the list of people.
Almost as indestructible as the Punisher.
Yeah, I mean, she might as well be fucking the RoboCop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because she gets in... pretty nice car flip over accident / shot three times, once in the fucking head.
Right. I
mean, Jesus. Yeah. She was sleeping with the enemy. Spoilers. So, yeah, I mean, there's
Or was it the frenemy?
Yeah, she was...
God, that was bad.
Yeah, that was... you might want to mark that on the old the markage.
Sorry.
So, yeah, she actually has a lot of action.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about Paul Schultz playing Rollins?
I like him. I like him for the piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
He's a good,
right?
He's a good, he's a pretty good piece of shit. I'll tell you that.
Right? You pieces of shit like you for breakfast, especially with that fucking eye.
Yeah.
They killed it on that makeup.
Yeah, that whole thing was pretty good. And Unfortunately, I'm not a Punisher comic book aficionado, so I'm guessing a good amount of these characters are all based from the books. I'm sure Micro is.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's even an Agent Madani or something to the effect of that, right. Whether or not this... I'm sure there's no mention of Afghanistan there, but I'm sure there was something about something about something.
Well, they got to update it for the times.
And, yeah, right. And a lot of the generals' names, and I'm sure they use names, and I'm unfortunately not a Punisher reader. I mean, the only thing I know about the Punisher is when he crosses over with like Spider-Man and shit, and even then,
that sounds like a very weird crossover.
No, they do. They have. I mean, it's New York, so he goes with, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, Spider-Man's a New York-based dude, so yeah, most of the New Yorkers.
I feel
Yorkers.
Like he'd be trying to stop him, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a thing.
Knew it.
For sure. Yeah, you're pretty smart. So, so I thought the show was good, and I'm going to go right off the bat here and say that I don't know if I agree with the 47,000 people that voted this thing a 9 on IMDb.
What do you mean?
Seems high. For the average IMDb goer. 47,000? That seems like a lot of votes with a very high score that I'm surprised at, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I liked it a lot. I thoroughly enjoyed pretty much all the characters were cast pretty goddamn well, if you ask me. Like I said, with the pinata-like pinhole, pincushion that Frank was the entire time, I think he bounced back a little too quick.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there were some unbelievable things in there, but there was a lot of cool stuff in there. And there's a lot of fantastic acting. But, yeah, I kind of agree, though. I think a 9 is probably...
Yeah, I mean, Luke Cage, I was just looking up a couple of the other ones. 77,000 people voted Luke Cage, just 7.6. Same with the Defenders. Which I find,
I'm not gonna lie, I was disappointed with the Defenders.
I think we voted it a little lower than the norm, but
that's what we did,
but not Luke Cage. That show was awesome, I think. But what do I know? I'm just a dumb.
Oh, man. Dude, what's his face was the best.
Good old what's his face.
Yep. Cigar box. What the fuck? Candlestick. What's his name? Come on.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Dude!
Cottonmouth?
Yes!
Candlestick! Cigar box! Bikes! Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, no, dude, that dude...
I literally thought you were having a stroke again.
That guy needs his own show.
Yeah.
I mean, spoilers, he didn't make it, but...
Spoilers, probably not happening.
I don't know how I feel about the Punisher, though, score-wise, like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just...
Well, it sucks because I watched like, the entire fucking season a week ago.
It rated one of all the shows on IMDb, save Daredevil, so. I think. No, I mean, on IMDb it is so far.
No, I'm just saying, for me, it's just no.
I don't think it is at all. I don't think it's better than Luke Cage. I don't remember what I gave Luke Cage, so this might not be a fair assessment when it happens, but...
Luke Cage, I don't have the scores. I didn't keep records that far back.
Yeah, here, Daredevil is an 8.7 with 275,000 votes. So now, I mean, having said that, I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not hating on the Punisher. And I feel like as with like the Marvel movies, you know, everyone really liked Iron Man, you know, but then it was like a couple others, but now like the Avengers is the greatest movie that's ever happened in the history of movies and shit. You know what I mean? So maybe that's why the Punisher's so high after the unwelcomed like Iron Fist show, and we're coming off of the Defenders, you know what I mean? So I feel like this was the bounce back that they were looking for, and maybe people are just overcompensating with their rating system. I mean, I know I'm like drabbling on here, but
yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give it an 8.25.
shit, that was quick as fuck.
Well, I've been thinking about it for the last 45 fucking minutes while you were over there dicking around.
I really wish I knew what I gave Luke Cage, but I'm going to go ahead and give this an...
something.
8.5. That's what I'm going with.
8.5. All right. So there you have it. There's the Punisher. I'm sure there's way more that we should have talked about. Just forgot to. And I'm sure there's stuff that we might have rambled on about, but if you're a fan of the Netflix Marvel shows, it definitely holds its own.
You know, there are a few.
We didn't talk about Lewis at all.
Wilson?
No.
Lewis.
Lewis, the guy who was digging a hole in his backyard, almost shot his dad.
Wilson.
No, it's Lewis.
It was Wilson.
I'm staring at it right here.
Lewis Wilson?
Lewis Walcott.
Walcott, your dick. I think Lewis Walcott.
It is Lewis Walcott. You just wanted to be Lewis because that's what you thought the guy in the beginning was.
I'm not believing you right now.
I don't care. But we didn't really touch about him. He actually did a really good job of playing. Actually, you know what? That is the one thing that I thought the show really did really well. I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure they threw it in there as a way to, you know, kind of shine a light on it. I'm sure it was, I'll bet everything I have that it was intentional. The show, like, how difficult it is for these men and women to come over and just not be treated the way, not get the proper treatment as far as their PTSD goes, as far as even their living situation. They're not getting the proper support once they come back home, and I feel like this show did a pretty good job of highlighting that.
No, for sure, and not to bring up Rambo again, but as far back as then, if you remember the movie First Blood, that was like legitimately what that entire movie was about. It was about the soldier that was back, and people just initially think that you're a piece of shit or didn't agree with the reasons that you were over there and blame you for it, when it's like, hey, all bullshitting aside, like, hate the war all you want, but you can't hate the soldier for going where he's told to go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's what you sign up
These
for.
These guys sign up to defend our country and don't necessarily get a choice, and if they decide to try to make a choice, that's it anyway. Then they're just going to the brig. You know what I mean?
Or wherever. Or there's an accident during training exercises.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, there's a, you know, so
you don't have to agree with what they're doing, but if they weren't doing it, you'd be getting drafted.
So. Yeah, and if they weren't doing it, y'all might be speaking German. So.
Hey!
So, yeah. 8.5, I'm good.
Well, all right. Well, there you have it. That is The Punisher on Netflix. Don't forget to check that out. And while you're checking stuff out, you can check me out on Twitter at XOrsonX. And you can check out Michael at Review and Roast. And you can find all of our stuff at reviewandroast.com. You can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com, which I swear is going to come back one day if I have to do it my fucking self. And you can check out our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Until next time.